Well, I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. I'm glad that the Lord has been willing to call me to a purpose and a job for Him. But this is not always easy. And I need the Lord to help me. Or I say it's never easy. I said it wasn't always, never easy. But the Lord can help us, and our desire is that something can be accomplished in our hearts, in our lives, our understandings. I put on the board a couple words, hold fast. I feel like we live in a time that is pressing. There's a lot of influences out there to challenge our faith in God, challenge the standards that we hold, to challenge our resolve to serve God faithfully and to the end. I feel like that there is a real urgency right now for us to be able to hold fast to the faith that we have in God, changing world, pushing the doctrines of men, of the devil, of secular world and society, pushing it on us more and more, and we're going to have to hold fast to the experience. If you don't, hold fast means you've got something. It's already assuming something. You have something that you're already holding on to. You have to have that to start, but then you hold on to that, not wavering in that. I want to look at a scripture in 1 Thessalonians, start off. 1 Thessalonians 5. Little list of things that the apostle was given. 15th verse says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil." Hold fast that which is good. Now, this is the way my mind works. I understand that. Hold fast that which is good. You must have something that's good, and you hold fast to it. But also, it's clarifying something here, that there's a possibility of holding things fast that's not good. You can hold on to things that isn't profitable to you. I've been challenged lately by the idea of our willingness to accept change. Because mainly I look at us as a group of people that's not very willing to change. No, it's good. I mean, I'm glad. Hold fast. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Hold fast. So I dig my heels in. I dig my heels in at change many times. But there's things that you hold fast to that's not profitable to hold fast to. And so there's a balance of holding fast that which is good, but willingness to change to things that are better. We got to be willing to follow the Lord. Quench not the Spirit. He's a live God wanting to lead you and I in the 21st century. There's things that applies, and He wants us to move into the applications of it. Now, I hope this is not critical to you in any way, but I just want to bring out some points. Several years ago, your older ones will remember this for sure, but several years ago when we had our ordinance service, our foot washing service, especially at the times right after I got saved, it was very prevalent. It happened every time. We'd done our foot washing service. Somebody would count the number of men, and somebody would count the number of women, and then we would put it on the board. And it was a matter of course that it always happened. But nobody ever explained that to me, but I was never curious enough to know that I always assumed that nothing's done without purpose or reason, so there was an outstanding reason for that. I wasn't that deep in the scriptures to find out what that exactly was in the scriptures, but that was done. So finally, just a few years ago, I got so curious about it that it was done that I said, I'd like to be able to give an answer. So I thought, why do we do that? And so I asked a few people, and they didn't know. I even asked the ones that wrote it up there, and they didn't know. So I said, well, Brother Ed's a very knowledgeable fella. He's been around a long time, knows some of the older ones. I thought my best one was to go. I'll go ask Brother Ed. So I asked Brother Ed why we did that, and he said, don't have a clue. Don't know. And I said, really? No, he said, that'd be a good thing for you to find out. Well, I don't know how to find out. And I thought, oh, I know one. The church historian, Brother Leslie. He's bound to be the one to know. So I went to Brother Leslie and said, Brother Leslie, why do we do it? And he said, I don't know. He said, we've just always done it. Well, I'm getting to the end of the line here. Maybe this will be gone forever. Why did we do that? Then there was one person I thought, you know, been around longer than anybody else. Brother Veda was still alive. So I went to Brother Veda and said, Brother Veda, can you help me out here? Do you know why we do it? And he said, yeah, I know why we do it. He said, Brother Fred Pruitt used to like to give camp meeting reports. And happy are you if you do these things. And so he would report for the happy saints that had partook of the foot washing service. And that's why they put it up there, so Brother Fred could get it and put it in and tell everybody that so many happy saints had done that, been to that. Brother Fred hadn't done that for decades. And we still put it up there. And I'd be willing to say that there were some people that would still be a little bit bothered that it wasn't still put up there. Because that's what we do. That's what we do. It's what I'm used to. It's what I'm feeling. There must be something that I ain't saying there was anything wrong with that, but it was not profitable. It lost its usefulness. You understand? And now you say, why do we do that? I think it's okay as long as we don't start condemning somebody for not doing it. But Lord help us. This is, I just want to bring out some points here about holding fast to something. If we're not careful, we're not holding fast to the right thing. There's something we ought to hold fast to that which is good and right and that has proven itself. And the things that we hold there is things, folks, that we cherish that will be right. We need to hold them things. We got biblical backing for these. There's biblical things. Now, another one that you all will recognize, when I first got saved, for a man to have facial hair was like, listen, I'm not being critical of the church. I believe in the church of God. God's bright. Listen, I'm right there. But when I first got saved, it was such a negative for a man to have facial hair that I said, being a curious fella, what scripture is that? Where's that at? Nobody would tell me. They kept telling me not to have facial hair. Well, I don't like to have facial hair, but so I don't care. But I'm saying, where was that at? And I've had some of the older ones even say, you know, you really ought to cut that off. And had other ones to do it too. It was something. So I wanted to know, where did this come from? So I started inquiring. Where did you get that from? Couldn't find out. So I was with Brother Leslie one time, and he was showing me these old pictures. You know, Brother Leslie had all this stuff, had these old pictures. What I heard was that back in the 60s, there was this revolution of the hippie movement with the beards and all that, and it was really kind of a negative, don't let your good be evil spoken of and your appearance, so it was kind of a negative in the 60s. But I started looking at pictures from the 30s, and there was no facial hair. It was all clean shaven. So I asked Brother Leslie about it. Well, Brother Leslie, what is this? And he said, I don't know. It's just been something that's always been like the best witness. It's what always the church has done. That's okay. I'm willing to ebb and flow. Lord, lead us. Lead us into the very best way to witness to the world. And if it's with facial hair, I'll grow it. And if it's not, I'll cut it off. If it is, I want to hold to something that's more than an idea of a human idea. Well, you'll notice that it's not near as prevalent now as it used to be. I don't know of what everybody's mind of it is, but I think we've kind of ebbed away from that holding to something that we can't explain or know why. There's a number of things. You know, there used to be a preaching against white wall tars. No, it was. But it had a practical reasoning to it. The practical reasoning was is that at the time they came out, you spent more money on the white wall tar just for the look. They didn't roll no better. They didn't hold air no better. There was just a look that they had, and so frugal ministers and believing in the frugal ideas would say, you're being extravagant and proud. If that's, you got to have, pay more money for those white wall tars so you can have something. So maybe the Lord knew that, and that's a prevalent message for the day. You think it's a prevalent message for us to preach about white wall tars? Because most every tire, when I growing up, every tire, you turned it one way or the other. Black wall or white wall, whichever one you want. It was all, so you can hold to something. You can hold to that. But you're not holding to anything that's worth anything.
Lord, help us with the word.
The Bible tells us to hold fast.
Amen.
To that which is good. So I find in my conflict of my own life, the willingness to change against the willingness to change against a detriment to my own soul. Understand what I'm saying? I want change that's good, that's profitable, that helps. But I'm afraid there's a lot of changing that is a detriment to our salvation. It's going to hurt us in the long. We're losing. If we're not careful, we're going to lose something. So the argument is always when you come up against something, well, the old saints used to preach against white wall tars, too. You know, well, we wouldn't want to hold you to that. But folks, modesty's plainly in the Bible. I can't sit and tell you every detail of it. But if you throw it away, you're going to lose something. You're going to lose something that you can't afford to lose. Hold fast to that which is good. This has been taught to us by the Lord. The Lord's given us things. Folks, listen. I believe, and I want to tell this to the glory of God. There's a couple of men up home, one in particular, got to know real well. He's been coming out to our services, and he likes our singing, and he knows. And he listens to our tapes sometimes, so he may get to listen to this. But I really appreciate him. He's a man that loves the Lord. And he's come, and he's just fell in love with our singing. And he says, I just never heard anything like you all singing. And now listen, I told him when he told me that, I said, thank you, brother. Because I forgot. He comes to our regular services and we just sing. Everybody sings their part. Everybody does their job and we sing through it without any much emotions to it. Or just we do our duty. We sing our songs. He comes in and listens to this and is like, oh. I said, thank you. Because I forgot. I forgot that we've got, that there's something there with this that's touching, that the Lord can use, that is valuable. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose it. It's valuable. Hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to that which is anointing. And I want to tell you something else he was impressed with. He was impressed with this, and he should be. He was impressed of Holy Ghost leadership. He goes around telling people about us. They let the Lord lead their services. You can do that? You can trust the Lord to pick the minister? Or what if somebody picks the wrong song? Or they just allow their service. He said, that's so beautiful. Thank you, brother. I forgot. I'm so used to it that I forgot. I forgot that God's willing, the great God of the universe, the great creator of the universe, is willing to bring himself, lower himself and be in our services and lead and guide us by his spirit. And I want to tell you this, we can't afford to lose it. You know what? We can hang on to things sometimes and just, I ain't changing because Grandpa done it and Dad done it and the church has done it and Brother Pruitt done it and these ones done it. But don't allow that, because there's things, folks, that God wants. God is alive and he wants a life in us. He wants to have a life to where he can lead and guide us into these things, but he also wants us to grab a hold and hold fast to those things that he's taught us and given us that we know's right. And let's not get stumbled up on or have a bad witness to the world around us because we're in the last 2 centuries somewhere with something that doesn't pertain. The devil knows how to take advantage of those things, folks. But let us bring that newness in and it'll still be life. It'll be wonderful. It's holy. It isn't losing holiness. It isn't losing righteousness. The right things. It isn't losing those things. There's valuable principles of how to serve God. We worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. You can't bring fleshly things into that. Let's hold that. You can't bring that in. You can't bring the idea of these other things in. You can't bring, you can't worship God with men's hands. We worship him in the spirit and in truth. Over in 2 Thessalonians, there's a scripture. 2 Thessalonians 2. And 14 says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, or because of that, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or epistle. Because hold fast to the things that's brought value. The things that have worked in your life, hold fast to those things. You'll find a blessing in them too. Yes. I'm not talking about these things that need to be changed. I'm talking about things that has been proven. Hold fast to those traditions and those things and the doctrines that have been taught. Hold fast to those things. Lord, help us. I want to look now at a scripture in 1 Kings 17, very familiar scripture. First verse. And Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Well, that's a good plan. God comes along and says to him, there's a change about to happen in your life. You need to go from where you're at and go to this brook that you can be sustained there. You know, don't have to labor or toil. Just go. And I will command my ravens to feed you by the brook. Well, that's good. Maybe that'll last forever. I'm through the duration. Here I am. I wouldn't want to change, would you? You're getting fed by the raven. You're sitting there by the brook. You don't want to change from a situation like that. But change happens. Change happens to that. I can see wanting to hold fast to something like that. The people in Jesus' day definitely wanted to stick by him for the food. That when they got fed, they said, let's stay right. Here's one that can feed you. Jesus even said, you didn't follow me for the miracle. You followed me because you was fed. You had some bread and stuff. You don't want to change that. Let's stay right there in that place, right there. It happened a number of other times in those kind of situations. But it comes to an end sometimes. In this passage, it says in the 7th verse, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Now a change has happened. It doesn't do you any good to stay at the brook anymore. Because what once was good is not good anymore. What once was could be applied to your life no longer applies anymore. It doesn't have any application anymore. I'm glad Brother Fred was willing to post what he did. But that's all that it was. Was no reason to hang on to it for 2 decades after that. Was no reason to. It had no meaning to it anymore. But we can hold on to these things, and sometimes it's dried up. It's dried up and there's no reason for it. And we can look at that many times, and others will justify it and say, well, because that happened, then it's okay for me to do something else. No, it's not. It's okay to be led by the Lord. The Lord led him there, and when it was done, he said, it's time to go on. I know that many were sad, and I'll say this just this way. I know many were sad because of the years and the years that the Faith Publishing House worked. And I was thankful for it. We're always thankful for it. It was a ministry. It was a thing. But maybe the brook dried up. There's ways of looking at it. God can keep what God needs. God can. Maybe there's times to move to different medias and different ways. Are we willing to say, Lord, lead us into our time? Are we willing to go ahead and say, okay, I'm willing, Lord, let this do. You handle this, but lead me into another way. Maybe there's another way of having a ministry. Maybe there's another thing, the way to be to somebody. Hold fast to that which good is not holding on to individual things, but it's holding on to the Lord that gives them. Lord, help us to know the difference of how to hold fast, but not hold fast just to some idea of a movement or a thing. Folks, we need to hold on to Jesus. We need to hold on to His Spirit leadership for our individual lives. Lord, lead me where you want me to go. I'll be honest with you. I've been ministering full-time as an evangelist minister for ever since 95 now. And there's been times that I've said, Lord, are you drawing this thing to an end? Do you want something else? I want to hold fast to what the Lord give me, but I don't want to be doing things He don't. Lord, lead me into where's the next episode of my life to be in you? Because I don't want it to dry up and stale up and become nothing. Lord, you lead this. I want to hold fast just because of, well, I've always done this, so you guys got me. I'm on your hands, and I'm going to be up here in this pulpit as long as I live, whether there's any anointing on me or not, because it's what I do. Well, Lord, help me. Well, Lord, what else do you... You got something else? There's been times, I'll be honest with you, in my time I've said, Lord, I don't know that this is it possible you want me to be in our local congregation as a pastor? I prayed that way. Why wouldn't I? Maybe the Lord would want something else. It's not about all that, folks, but it's about holding fast to that which is good. And that which is good is the Lord and His leadership in our life and what He wants to do with us. I think there was a time that it was relevant because things change. And when there's an appearance of evil, I'll give you for instance. If the people around here, if there was a bad gang around here that was causing a lot of trouble and murdering people and killing people and stealing, and they all wore a purple hat with a white design on it, and they all wore it sideways on their head, it'd be wrong for me to wear a hat like that. I wouldn't want to be represented with them. I wouldn't want people to look and say, there's one of them. It'd be wrong for me to do that. But there's nothing wrong with a purple hat. That's just the truth. And once that goes away, and so many, I've seen this many times, that 40 years after it went away, somebody's saying, you shouldn't wear that purple hat. Well, why? Well, I don't remember, but Grandma never did it. They just wouldn't do it. Well, maybe, I think it's deeper, folks. Maybe there's a disconnect somewhere. Maybe those things, they're from a good heart. Folks, I'm telling you, I know the ones that, I know they had the right, they wanted to hold what was right. And they was holding what, I have no condemnation. They was holding, they wanted, I got to, listen, I'm the same way. I know it because I'm the same way. I don't want things to be lost, and so I'll hold. I don't want it changed. Do you know I used to argue with people that they ought to be saved when I first got saved because the church was right, saints are right, and I used to say you should. I tried to make the arguments or counter arguments and all those kind of things, but after a while, it didn't seem to work very well. Because to be honest with you, if you look through the history of time, you'll find out that our little segment of history doesn't match up with all the history. You know, Jesus has been, the church has been around for over 2,000 years. Lord help us. I'm going to tell you something else. I think Brother Michael would agree with me when he was in here. We have a certain culture, a way of doing it. And for us to live this righteousness as we can and modestness as we can in our society, we have a certain apparel. It doesn't work worldwide. Because everybody in the world don't have the same kind of apparel. So if we're willing to draw down what is good and hold fast and what is good, we're going to be an awful narrow-minded bunch of people. When that's not what we're holding to. We're holding to the Lord and His Spirit to lead and guide us for what's best in our life and our time to do what's best in it. Listen, when you get in your heart, Brother Sammons used to tell us at home, said, if you want to go, you pray until you can stay. And then you're free to go. And if you want to stay, you pray until you can go. And then you're free to stay. But when you got your heart made up and your mind made up about it, you pray until you're willing to change that. And I can say, as Apostle Paul did, I'm willing to be all things to all people. Do you know that he actually, if I got this right, I think he actually circumcised Timothy so that they could have a greater ministry? I'm willing to grow a beard if I need to. If I had to go somewhere where it was accepted and get the gospel to them, I can do it. And I can keep myself shaved too. I'm willing to do one and I'm willing to do the other. To being, having a heart that's willing to do what the Lord wants you to. Hold fast. Hold fast to that which is good. We got wonderful things. I thank God for it's what draws me. It's what I love. I love the purity, the holiness of our life. I love that of the church. Hold fast to that idea. Well, I'll be honest with you, there's changes happens. There's more of a willingness to accept things that maybe there used to not be. The world's influence is still the world's influence. Hollywood still doesn't put out righteous things. The music industry is not pumping out spiritual ideas. They come up with the tunes, they come up with the things. Hold fast that which is good is not to throw these things away. And say, I can mix my life with just any influences. Especially young people, listen to me. Got a lot of life ahead of you. They've got a lot of influence on you. There's a lot of things out there that wants to make you think less of this than it should be. There's a lot of influence out there. It's amazing. I know a little bit about the technological world, and it's amazing all these gadgets. And by the way, there's some studies out there that saying too much of it actually messes physically with your brain. So take that into consideration. But other than that, it messes with your brain when it ain't physical. It messes with your brain. Don't be so willing to just because it's easy access that it's acceptable. There's still things that's wrong. There's still things that's ungodly. Godly. Undress is still an ungodly principle. There is a lot of ideas about a marriage that's promoted out there and the fornications and all that. It's ungodly. But it's too easy to accept because it's rampant. It's just everywhere. But it doesn't make it right. I think there's a time to change. Lord, help us to be able to change as you change. As the world around us changes, help us to be able to change in things. Because things do change. And there's a lot of debates that you can get into and wonder about. I'll give you another example. I've seen this pretty plainly in my lifetime with the saints. Back in 1942, there was a national dress length. If you didn't know that, the government that time when the war kicked in, they had to conserve material, and so there was a national skirt length. And it was 3 inches below the knee. That's pretty particular. But it was a certain place right below the knee. And I noticed after I come along, and I didn't get saved until up in the mid-80s, and I come along that there was a standard that most saints, as they looked at one another, they looked and seen that this was what looked like a saint. But a saint isn't determined by where that length's at. But there was criticism about even making it longer. Covering more. There was criticism about that. Why? Because we don't change. We can't change. This is something we've adopted. And my vision says this is a saint woman. And that's all that I can understand. And now that don't look right. That doesn't have the same image. In time, nobody cares. I've been around long enough to know that's pretty much went away. And well, then it should have. I really appreciate caution, folks. Let's hold fast to the good things that the Lord's given us. Let's hold fast to devotion. Let's hold fast to our faith in God. Let's hold fast to Holy Spirit leadership and true worship of worshiping God in the Spirit. Let's hold fast to purity and honesty. Let's hold fast to these things that's good in our lives. But let's not get hung up on the things that's not. Lord, help us. Because they're a distraction. The devil knows how to make them work against us. Let's keep a caution. Oh, what carefulness it wrought in you. I never, ever condemn somebody because they're cautious. I've heard of it, but I won't do it. Lord, lead you, I'll say. Because when I first got saved, I didn't know nothing about the Lord. I didn't know nothing about the Lord. I just got saved. Wonderfully saved. I felt so good, folks. When I got saved, I felt so good that I wouldn't have jeopardized my salvation for anything. So I look in the mirror one day, and I used back then the style was kind of had my hair parted in the middle and kind of feathered back like that when I got saved. And I looked in the mirror after I got saved and said, that might be worldly. So I decided that it couldn't be worldly to just not do it at all. Just put my hair straight and just not do anything with it. Couldn't be. So that's what I done. I know a lot of people said, well, that religion just made him completely a nut. It didn't make me a nut. It made me careful. Until I found out that it was all right. I wasn't going to jeopardize my... The day after I was saved, I went to the refrigerator. I was thirsty and opened the refrigerator up and looked. And there was some cold drinks and stuff in there. I went to get one and I was like, what if that ain't right to drink? Didn't know a thing. Just said, oh, I know the Lord made water. That's all right. Went and got me a drink of water. It's called what carefulness it wrought. I don't want to lose this. I want to keep this no matter what. I want to hold fast to that which is good. Folks, a good conscience towards God. Hold fast to your good conscience towards God. Don't allow it to be bothered by anything. Anything that's going to challenge that good conscience, don't do it. Well, you might have somebody say, well, you know, that ain't quite necessary, brother. But I'll tell you what you ought to say. Brother, we'll pray you through this. We'll pray you through this. Sometimes somebody gets saved and they're a little bit more than what we'll look and say, whew, they're going so far. Don't let that be a challenge to you. Pray for them and help, Lord, help us to be what we ought to be, that we can cite in this world, make a difference. I'll be honest with you. I can't look at your heart. I can't do that, but the Bible says that God looks on the heart, but man looks on the outward appearance. So our testimony through the outward appearance is very, very important. Don't let the devil lie to you and say, well, it's all about the heart. No, they can't see your heart, but they can see your heart through your outward appearance and what you say is important. So don't let the devil lie to you. When you're witnessing for the Lord, your outward appearance is very important. Lynn and I talk about this quite a bit, and I ain't bragging, it's the Lord all the way. But we have a unique family pretty much for our area. And when we go to Elkins, largest town in our area anyway, when we go to Elkins, go to the Walmart or anything, there's nobody quite like us. And there's times that we are, Linda will say, woo, we was a magnet today. I'm telling you. Sometimes we go to town and we're a magnet. Everybody wants to be a part of our life, it seems like. They want to involve themselves in us. They want to be close. This, we was in the thrift store the other day, and I got in line, and there was a guy, there was a woman, and there was a guy ahead of him in line, and I got up there, and the guy turns around and says, you're a preacher, ain't you? I mean, I never knew the guy. He said, you're a preacher, ain't you? And I said, yeah, matter of fact, I am. I thought so, he said. And I'm thinking, well, he must have saw my family. If he saw the girls and all, ladies listen, sisters listen, you're beautiful. You just are beautiful. Don't let the world try to tell you that they're beautiful. They ain't. You are. And he said, you're a preacher. And we got to talking a little bit. You know, he turned around and said, he gave me money and said, here, put this in your offering Sunday. well, thank you, sir. I was very friendly guy. And when I got up, I had a belt. This belt I got on right now. I had to have a belt. I had this belt. And the woman ahead of me, I had it curled up and was standing there. And she gets up there and she reaches and takes my belt from me and places it up there. And I said, well, ma'am, are you going to pay for my... She said, yes, I want to buy this for you. Clothing the independent from the other fella. I said, well, thank you very much. So nice of you to do that. Folks, it had to do with our outward appearance, and I'll just be honest with you. It was more than an outward appearance, but it had a lot to do with the way we present ourselves.
Brother Martin, you bought me a nice
Huh? See? Right there. You guys want to hold that which is good? You get an ice cream cone from this. There's a lot of benefits to this. I can go into the... We go in sometimes with our family to places, and people almost want to come to the table with it. Folks, there's a witnessing power there in this. Hold fast to that which is good. So here's Elijah anyway in this story, and he's at the brook, and everything's been took care of, and why would he want to leave? I won't tell you why he wants to leave. It dried up. It dried up. It don't work anymore. And when it works, let's do it. When it don't work, let's ask the Lord to help us to find out what does. He's a God of all ages. He knows what he's doing. And we can get the idea that nobody wants this old gospel. Yes, they do. Amen. We have a lot of movement up home with people. There's movement. I know about every congregation is starting to tell me, we got movement. People starting to need saved. People starting this and this. Yes, they do need it too. But they need a clear vision of it. They don't need to be come in and say, oh, I get that rid of that hair on your face. They don't need to come in and say, what you got a radio? You got chrome on your car? You need to get rid of that chrome. Get them white walls off your car. Like that's holiness or something. It's not. You'll be fine as long as you can do this or that. No. Let's hold fast to that which is good. And we can be led in our time. Right here in almost 2019, we can have a fresh experience with the Lord Jesus that leads us right directly where we need to go. God ain't going to throw modesties away, folks. God ain't going to throw away Holy Ghost leadership. God isn't going to throw away the way we worship Him in the Spirit. He's not going to throw those things away. Let's not let it ebb in on us. The things that the world are trying to put in on us. Let's not let it do it. You know what? I'm very challenged in this time. Because in this time, it's rampant. The spirit of I almost hate to say the word. But homosexuality, the spirit's loosed. Let's just admit it. The spirit's loosed. And we got to deal with this. I'm going to tell you how to deal with it. We got this powerful tool called love. Well, you might say, it's just too much for me. It wasn't too much for the Lord either. He's got this powerful thing called love. You can't accept it. But folks, I'm going to tell you, the first embrace is love. That's love. Hold fast to it. It will, it's the breaking thing. It's the thing. I'm not challenged by it in any sense like that because God is powerful. God is great. I love them. I love people. I love everybody. I love for their souls. I guess that I can say this because I was so rotten. I sure appreciate forgiveness. Because I had such a bad life, I'm so glad for a God that can forgive people. And I can sure find a lot of mercy in me for Him. Because when I think of what I owe that Jesus paid, then I can surely say, Lord, forgive them. Lord, have mercy on them and lead them. But we're challenged. I want to tell you what a lot of people's doing. It's sad to me, but a lot of people aren't holding fast in these areas. They're making allowances for the life, and it ain't right. We ought to love them, but not make the allowance. Hold fast to the principles of God. Hold fast to these things. And the Lord, I think the Lord will help us. Another scripture I want to look at, Hebrews. I sure hope you don't think this offensive because I don't mean it to be at all. It's been a challenge to me in my life to know where to put these things. Maybe it has been yours too. Hebrews 10. In the 23rd verse says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And I want to challenge us to a higher place here because there is times, it's not hard. It's not hard for me to stand in front of you all, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, that have like passion and desire. It's not hard for me to stand up and tell you that I love the Lord. You'll say amen. You love him too. But us hold fast our profession of our faith when we're challenged out there in the world. When the world's coming against you and you know they don't like it, and you can say, I love my Jesus. I'm holding fast my profession that he's all in all. And he's what you need too. It's what the world needs. Let us hold fast that profession. This time is trying to rob the profession that we have. The best way that it can rob that isn't by taking your tongue first. He takes heart first. He makes your tongue useless to you because it only babbles things that it don't understand. You can train yourself to say some things, but I want to tell you, don't lose your love for God. Don't lose your passion for the Lord. Keep your heart. Hold fast to that in your heart. If you hold fast to it in your heart, I will not give it up. And then I can say it with an assurity, God is my helper. God is my helper. You start feeding yourself and allowing the world to come in and influence your thoughts and your thinking, and you become more worldly minded, and you get into the musics and all those things like that. You may still see them and say the words, but they'll be hollow. They'll be empty. But you hold the profession in your heart, then your words will sound true. They'll ring true with what you say, and you can say no to those things. No, I don't want those things. Guy recently was telling me, oh, he said about this. You ever see this? Oh, have you ever seen this? It's a TV show. You ever seen this? And I said, don't watch TV. Don't have a TV. Don't watch. No, I don't watch TV shows. Oh, well. Well, you can get it on the internet too if you want to do it this way. You know, there's a truth in that. So the church, so we have, and rightfully so, and believe it still to be a right thing. We don't argue about it at all. Me and my wife does, because we make a decision for our own home. We don't want to change the environment of our home that way. So we don't, won't do it. But the idea of it is you don't have to do it with a big screen and with a satellite. You can do it through the internet. Most everybody has the internet. You can even do it on your phone. You want to watch TV shows? I ain't promoting. I'm just telling you, you can do it. It's a changing time. So what used to be incredibly sensible is less so today, because the message needs to be enlarged. And it isn't. No place that I feel like that you need to, we need to start, get the ministers together and make a new creed or make a new thing. No, we need to stand up here and preach, get your heart right and keep it right, and hate those things that's wrong. Hold fast to that which is good, and then all of a sudden something will pop up and it'll be a beautiful idea. And I give beautiful ideas credit. And I don't care if it's the Catholic Church or the Pentecost or whoever comes up. If it's a good thing, it's good. And I'll give it credit. Hey, that was beautiful. And if it's a bad thing, it's bad. And I don't want nothing to do with it. And I don't promote these religions at all. I'm just saying that I give credit for what is right and good. Jesus come to save. And it's good. Thank God for it. But we can have all this stuff, and you can watch anything you want to. You can get yourself involved. You can move all your time. In our modern time, you can do anything that you want. I want us to hold fast to some principles. Hold fast to the idea that God's first in my life. You're going to have to hold fast that God's all in all to you. Hold fast to that. Because that will take care of all the bad media. Because we ain't going to be able to, society ain't going to make walls for you anymore. There ain't going to be societal walls or even a lot of stances, church walls. It's coming down to now to every man to his own tent. And where are you going to be at in your own tent? You better have an experience with the Lord and hold fast to those principles and things that are good and right and wholesome. And the doctrines that the Lord taught us. Folks, I want to tell you, more and more I'm convinced that this book is the truth. It's the truth that we live our lives by. Not just come to service and listen to it. Folks, we got to live our lives by it. This book affects me when I go to town. It affects me when I go to work. This affects the principles of the book got to work in my heart and life. I can't, nobody can. We can't sit with cameras on you all the time critiquing your life. God's already doing it. Because your heart sends out signals all the time to what it really wants. It sends them to God all the time about what you want in your life. Hold fast that that was as good. In Ecclesiastes 3, familiar scripture says, first verse, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence. A time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? All this thing, time. There's a time for everything. There's a time and season. We're come to a time in history of a great spiritual challenge, I feel. I think of all the things, we're in a great time of change. The world is changing so fast. This is hardly the same world that I grew up in. There's so many things that's changing so quickly around about us, and change is going to happen. But the Lord's given us a definite, you know what? I don't want to be guilty of not changing when I need to. Lord, help me to be willing to change. if the place needs painted, let's paint it. Oh no, this is the same paint. No, this and you know, we see these struggles. Listen, it's not bad. Or good. I'm just making a point here. Monarchs changed, didn't it? It's changed. It's changed. But you know what? I could have sat under that old tabernacle from here to eternity. Because I liked it. I just liked it. But the Lord spoke to my heart about it. And I still hold this in my reservations of what I think. I think there's a purpose for that other one. I think God sees something. I'm willing to change, Lord. I'm willing to go through what seems hard, unusual, or different. But let's be willing to change what needs to change. But hold fast to those unchangeable things. Hold fast to the same things the apostles had. All that time, what they held fast to, let's hold fast to. Let's hold fast to all the good things of God in our hearts. Hold fast to it that we might not lose this in our day. I look sometimes and say, I'll tell you my own experience. I look sometimes and say, I think I was too rigid at times in my life about things. And then when I start thinking about change, I get this feeling, Lord, I don't want to lose anything. Help me to know the difference between being too rigid and giving up something that's going to hurt me and my children and my children's children down the road somewhere. I don't want to start the thing off wrong, but I don't want to be so rigid it turns it away either. Help me, Lord. Help me to know how to be led of you and to let loose. Help me know how to let loose and hold fast. You can be stubborn. Stubborn's holding fast. But it's not really the word that the Bible wants to use. Stubborn is the negative sense of holding fast. That's where you're stubborn and unyielding. Lord, help us to know the difference in our day that we'd be able to hold fast and let loose and let God be able to lead us. You pray for me.